Hey, flower farmers, we are so excited to invite you to the second annual Flower Farmer Forum Conference on January 25th, 2025 in Sartell, Minnesota. Last year, we filled the room with amazing growers, and we are expanding it even more this year. So get ready for a full day of hands-on learning, networking, and insights to level up your flower farm for the new season. A quick sneak peek at the lineup. First session is going to be Accounting 101, Tax and Business Essentials tailored just for flower farmers. Then we're going to dive into cover crops with soil health strategies specifically for flower farmers. Then we're going to end the morning with peer exchange sessions. So we're going to connect each other with opportunities like plug splitting, dahlia swapping. And then we are going to have the noon hour will be a lunchtime dose of inspiration with the host of the Megan May podcast. And she's going to give us a quick little You Matter speech. Nothing kicks me off better with a little inspirational speech. Then in the afternoon, we're going to have spring blooms, tips on early season blooms for zones 3, 4, and 5. Talk about real trials and tribulations, triumphs and tragedies of trying to grow flowers in the tundra that we live in. Then I'm going to talk a little bit more about Farmers to Florists, your guide to setting up a wholesale hub. Hint, hint, those that are attending are going to get a pretty exclusive entry offer to being able to set up their own little wholesale hub with very little work on the farmer's part, so you could do more of what you like doing, which is actually growing flowers. Then we're going to go into some community insights of what is trending in the state of the industry from some anonymous surveys that were sent out to the attendees. If you are hearing this before November 15th, use the code EARLYBIRD for 30% off. Okay, that's good through November 15th. It's right in the episode notes. And last year's attendees got a 40% off through November 1st. And so if you missed out on that, you can get 30% off through November 15th. And we are offering even more exclusive discounts on farmerstoflorists.com. Remember to help you make wholesale a breeze, but that's only for those that attend. And then if you do miss out on this, if you're listening after November 15th, make sure you're on our email list at sunnymarymeadowcoaching.com because there will be a 15% off Black Friday discount. However, it's not going to be higher than the early bird discount. Just sign up early. I hope that we can make this even bigger and better together. As of today, when I'm recording this, it's November 6th. We have 19 farmers signed up, not including any panelists, anything like that. I'm expecting over 50 people in that room, and I am so excited. Thanks. Welcome to Flower Farmer Forum, the podcast where growing and selling cut flowers isn't just a dream, it's a reality. With over 100,000 downloads, this is your go-to spot for everything you need to know about turning blooms into bucks. Whether you're looking for a little bit of extra cash or dreaming of scaling up to a full-fledged flower empire, we've got you covered. I'm your host, Liz Fidler, owner and operator of Sunny Mary Meadow Flower Farm in Minnesota. In just 5 years, I went from modest beginnings with $7,000 in sales to flourishing $200,000 operation, and I'm here to tell you it's absolutely possible. But remember, peddling perishable products requires careful planning and thoughtful intention. So let's roll up our sleeves and dive in. Ready to bloom and grow? Let's get started. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Flower Farmer Forum podcast. I'm your host, Liz Fidler-Mergen, and this week we're doing another Should You Grow This series. I've heard back from so many of you that you really enjoy these, and yeah, we're going to dive a little deeper. So this week we're going to talk about tulips, and I think that they are something that everyone tries once or twice, and you either get really good at making them profitable and analyze your market and decide to invest possibly in some infrastructure that makes them work well, or you decide to get rid of them. And honestly, there's a lot more that goes into tulips, and it can very, very quickly be a very, very expensive flower if you don't end up selling them all. So like last year, I talked to a good friend. She's a grower. She grew 10,000 last year, and she told me she broke even on them. Last year was the first year that I made a pretty significant profit from the tulips. I would say I ended up making about $12,000 in profit after all of my time, all of my labor, buying the bulbs, everything, all of my marketing, all of that. So they were definitely very profitable for me last year, which it sounds like a lot, you know, oh, you made 12 grand. But I put that against my sunk costs, like my website hosting, all of that. And, you know, those annual costs that I have, and it's like, by the time you pay yourself, your owner's draw, and you really look at that amount. But after I, you know, paid for the bulbs, paid for labor, that type of thing, it was about $12,000 profit for me last year. And I'm hoping to continue to increase that this year. So we're going to start with, also, I want to share that there is a free PDF download. So it's an added bonus. I'm starting to do these a little bit more, but head to the episode notes. There's a free download, and that's got all of the essentials for planting and harvesting tulips, stuff that we're not necessarily covering in this episode. And it also has a list of the 12 types of tulips that I'm growing this season. And as a bonus, they're listed. I have their colors, what they look like, and from the earliest to latest blooming varieties for easy succession planting. And they're a really nice balanced color. So I would say I've probably grown a total of 40 to 50 different kinds of tulips. And every year I go through the list. I'm like, okay, cull or keep? Which ones am I keeping? And these are ones that I've kept. So only one variety is new to me this year. But yeah, that's everything that I'm growing this year on the list. So I think that the goal of these episodes, or any episode that is in the Should You Grow series, is to help listeners, so you aspiring flower farmers that are trying to do it profitably, determine if tulips are a good crop for your specific farm, the resources you have, and the market that's willing to buy them. Because as I keep saying, they're not worth crap unless someone's willing to pay for them, right? So it's like, how much are tulips worth? Well, I don't know who's buying them. Do you have a buyer? So always keep that in mind when it comes to peddling your perishable products. So first of all, understand your growing conditions. What is your USDA hardiness zone? Can tulips thrive in it? So tulips are very hardy when it comes to, they need a frost, they need a cooling period. You can buy chilled tulips, but if you're growing in a more southern state, they might not be a good bet. There are some people that grow them, they chill them and pull them out, and you know, they've got a whole plan there, but that comes with a lot of costs and a lot of labor. Here in Minnesota, it is a perfect product to plant. However, I utilize high tunnels and low tunnels to make them bloom a little bit earlier because it never fails. They will bloom the week after Mother's Day for me, and I want them blooming like mid-April. People go nuts for them there. So I think that there is a definite market for tulips, but keep in mind that you can buy wholesale tulips for probably 80 cents a piece. You can buy them grown and ready to go as a wholesaler with your license. So you need to set yourself apart the types of tulips that you grow. I definitely cannot sell them for that price because I pay about 55 cents per bulb just to get them before I plant them, before any labor goes into them. And, you know, so I sell mine for about $2.50 a piece, but again, they're the fancy varieties people really enjoy. And I do think, you know, promoting those local blooms, again, that sales window, they have a pretty long vase life. And so, you know, having a quick turnaround to sell to the clients depends on your harvestability. And what I mean by that is if you can pick them when they are barely cracking open and they're barely having a color, great. Or you can keep them in your cooler for longer. But if you have that harvest window that you work a day job and you get home and they're half blown open, you need to sell them the next day. So depending on what your availability is for picking them, if you work a day job, if you're a teacher, whatever that might be, keep in mind that when they're ready to go, they're ready to go. And I spend, you know, if it's a sunny day, you know, I put some shade cloth out there, but I'm out there maybe two or three times a day picking 400 or 500 at a time at the margins that I grow at. So again, the cost of bulbs is about 55 cents a bulb shipped to me. And so is the markup worth it? So, you know, that potential revenue per stem, there's a lot of hidden costs when it comes to the labor. There's a lot of work to them. If you download the PDF, I talk about how we plant them in trenches with the tiller, and or we're doing temporary raised beds now. So we barely even have to do like much with shoveling, but the tractor that we have cost about, our John Deere one was like, I think it was about $20,000 with all the attachments, and my Kubota skid steer was $27,000. So I'm still waiting to get that return on my investment there. My tiller that's 60 inches wide, that one, I think we paid $3,800 for it. But again, it's every year, it's saving hours and hours of labor and so much time on our back, and I'm able to do it, and it makes up for it. We're going to do a quick break from this episode, and I want to give a shout out to my employee of the month, QuickBooks. I know it can be so overwhelming to get started, but honestly, the sooner you create your own system for your bookwork, the sooner you will get your time back. I used to spend 10 to 20 hours every quarter because in Minnesota, it depends on what your sales volume is, and I fall in the category of quarterly sales tax. So it never failed. Every 3 months, I would go down this rabbit hole of trying to gather everything from my website, the different point of sale that I do in person, people would pay checks, and just trying to reconcile it all. So now every month, I spend 1 hour reconciling my bank account with those systems that automatically feed in. And then when it's time to submit my sales tax, it takes me about 5 minutes, saving me literally dozens of hours every month. So yes, you pay a monthly fee for QuickBooks, but trust me, even if I only value my time at 10 bucks an hour, it is still way worth it. Head to the episode notes and click on the link there, and you will get 30% off for 6 months with my exclusive code. Be sure to use the code rather than just going to the regular website, because this is going to give you that 30% off for 6 months. I cannot recommend QuickBooks enough. Let's get back to the episode. And so also keep in mind that, you know, what florists are paying from the wholesaler, what they're going to buy from you, that might not be worth it to sell them wholesale to florists. You might need to sell them retail to really make it worth it. And so I think especially when you're buying in straight colors, straight varieties instead of mixes, you definitely don't want to do those mixes because they're going to be blooming at different times and it's going to make that harvesting difficult, especially if you're planting them close together. So I do think it's beneficial if you have a cooler to extend that vase life. There are two different ways to store them. I continue to store on the bulb because I have a pretty big cooler. And I have the crates for them to go in, but I know that there are other growers that are starting to really just cut off the bulb when they have them, and then they store them dry packed, and then they just trim those stems when they're ready to use them. I think that really depends on your turnaround method, depends on the labor that you have, depends on how long you're going to be storing them for, and if it's worth it. I'm looking at potentially doing it. It's just you really need them to be dried out well. You don't want any mold on those stems. You don't want the leaves to be soggy when customers get them. And so you just have to be really, really mindful of that when you're washing them and drying them out. So I do think, you know, I like to pick them. I use a potato fork, the same one that I use for my dahlias, to loosen up the soil and then pull them out on the bulb. So again, having wet, moist, warm soil, picking them in the afternoon is way easier than in the morning, but you don't always get that option because of them barely cracking open. But being able to have a method where you have space to dry them out as you're washing them off. So I like to pick, you know, hundreds of them at a time and then dry them out and then put them in crates hundreds at a time. What's really beneficial for me last year, they all bloomed within about a week, but because of my cooler and my method that I had for storing them, yeah, it was a week of harvest, and that absolutely sucked. If I'm being honest, I was working, you know, I was probably out there a couple hours on and off for an entire week, right? So it was, I could barely leave the farm, but it was manageable. I did it pretty much all by myself. Brent helped me a little bit. Vidalia helped me a little bit. My 6-year-old at the time helped me a little bit, and she was actually very helpful. But then what was nice is once I started doing the subscriptions, I literally pulled them out of the cooler, put them in bunches of 10 to 12, depending on how many. Actually, I think I did 15 for subscriptions last year. I think I did 15 for $30. Because of, you know, kind of the bulk order with subscriptions, but it was so easy to just make those bunches. I could make 40 to 50 of them in an hour because they were already picked. They were already clean. All I had to do was get them all together, chop off the stems with a stem chopper, put them in a cup, called it a day. And so that was really helpful to be able to batch that work. But again, you can only batch that work if you have a walk-in cooler that you can store them in crates and do a good job with it. So I really recommend having that cooler if you're going to grow tulips on a larger scale and having, you know, either high tunnels, low tunnels, whatever it might be to try to stagger out the succession and then planting the early varieties and late varieties correctly. So like I'm putting my early varieties in the high tunnel and my later varieties are going outside in the low tunnels, because last year I had some late varieties in the high tunnel and it got so hot in there that they barely bloomed open. I was worried that there was like some sort of disease or something.
I talked to my sales rep at Ball. We chatted through it. Nope, it's probably not a fungal disease. It literally, they just didn't get enough water and it was too hot inside of the high tunnel as the season went on. So I also think that, just keeping in mind, there's so much labor intensive that can go into it. There are very expensive ways, like I said, with the tractors, with the coolers, whatever, to reduce that labor, but you have to decide if you're in it for the long haul. And you have to decide if you have the availability to harvest on demand when you need to do it. And deciding, do you have something unique to offer the customers? Are people going to buy it? Are they going to pay the extra for it? What is that going to look like? So, overall, another short little episode. That free PDF is in the episode notes. It covers planting, harvesting, all of those essentials, and they're organized from earliest to latest blooming. And you can also find additional free resources and downloads on our website, sunnymerrymeadowcoaching.com. So I think we've got a new one for tax planning tips. We have kind of a list of my favorite things and all of those links on there. There's a dahlia growing guide, there's a dahlia storage guide, and there's a fall task list. So two different kinds of dahlia ones, but we're continuing to make other ones on there. But yeah, I would love to hear from you guys. Hear about your tulip plans, what works, what doesn't. Yeah, like I said, I think that they are one of those flowers that people try it a few times, and I want you to try them a few times. I really do. But then you have to decide if they're going to continue to work for you or not and really lean into what works for you. So thanks so much for listening. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Flower Farmer Forum. If you enjoyed today's show and want to dive deeper into the world of growing and selling cut flowers, be sure to check out our website at flowerfarmerforum.com. There you'll find every episode in written blog form, plus courses and one-to-one coaching options to help you on your flower farming journey. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Flower Farmer Forum and join our Facebook page to connect with other passionate listeners and flower enthusiasts. If you're local and want to see what we're up to, visit us at sunnymerrymeadow.com or find us on Instagram and Facebook at sunnymerrymeadow for my flower farm. We'd love your support. Please leave us a 5-star review and share this episode with a friend who might find it fantastic. Until next time, keep growing, keep blooming, and keep making your flower farm dreams a reality.
Flowers, flowers, we love flowers. Sunny Mary Meadow, they smell so good. SunnyMaryMeadow.com.